Escape of Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu's Scenario. We Are All Savages by William Adcock. Somebody want to catch us up from last time?
Yeah, we were at a fort near Niagara Falls at the end of the river there. And we were running out of food, middle of winter, 1760. And we got a word from a man that our food shipment had made it to within 3 days of here before being ambushed by some trappers. And so we were sent out to go and either bring back the food if possible or at least find out who had the shipment and bring back location to the soldiers so that we could send out a bigger party. And so we hiked east for 3 days on our snowshoes. And at one night, there was something odd in the woods that seemed to be flying up in the air, I guess. It was a person, a person-like shape. And I guess we'd heard that in the attack there was also a barefoot person who was very fast as part of the ambushers. And when we got out to the scene of the ambush, sure enough, that was all that. And we followed tracks, and we followed them for, I think, a day from the site of the ambush. And we did see also barefoot tracks there. And we got to the to a camp, which looked like it had an old native long hut and then a bunch of European huts, shacks, whatever's inside a poorly built wood stockade, and there was nobody alive in the camp. And we eventually found a bunch of dead people that were hung upside down by their ankles, and their livers had been sliced out, among other things. And they had eaten livers. And then there was this journal that said that there's a man who had shown up and said that he could live forever and proved it. And then I guess in the journal, it said that they were going to chop him up when he was relaxed, and that would surely kill him. Oh, and then this is very exciting. Just as we finished reading the journal, we heard a war cry in the Seneca language, and heard a bunch of musket shots. And I believe one or two people might have been lightly wounded by musket shot, or perhaps by debris from whatever the musket shot hit. And I think that's where we're at.
Some shrapnel, but yeah, I don't think anyone was caught full with it. And that sounds about right. So
I was outside in the... Yeah.
Yeah, that's my question. I'm trying to figure out where everyone was because I somehow managed not to capture this. So let's see.
It seems like reading the journal, I think we were outside of the long hut. They'd searched the long hut and found some stuff.
So everyone, yeah, I think that sounds right, that everyone is outside in the, let's call it, courtyard area in front of the longhouse. So, Private Shattuck, you're up first.
Oh, so I was actually wondering, you know, if I guess I will have to step out from the tent and, you know, raising both my hands, because otherwise we're going to be shot, all of us.
Okay.
So,
Private Shattuck surrenders. Running Bear. Sorry, Wandering Bear.
That's Max.
Oh, that is Max. Sorry. He's the one that's not here. So how did I get this so screwed up?
Speaking of people who are and aren't here, looks like Gary is to get that on.
Wellington. Is I put in the wrong place? Oh, well, let's add Mr. Gary then.
Isn't he there?
He's typing.
Oh,
he's
to the call.
To the call, yeah.
Oh.
some reason, I could not add him.
I just got an invite to join another call.
That was from Gary, and that was, yeah, confusing.
Yeah, finally. Yep.
That was there confusing. Hey, Gary.
Hello, how are you guys going?
Hey, yeah, how you doing?
Good. Oh, very good. You have arrived just in time.
To be shot at.
Okay, let me put Sergeant Ambrose back in the list here, because you're up.
Okay.
Private Shattuck, Private Shattuck has just put his hands up in surrender.
So what's
happening? What do you expect from a man with no officer, I guess?
What's actually happening? We've got people drawing their weapons against us, or...?
You have a Seneca war party shooting at you from outside a stockade of a bunch of dead French trappers that you have been investigating.
Okay, and I'm a British Grenadier. Just let me take a quick look at my background. So these are French people shooting at us?
Seneca. Natives.
Natives, okay. Now, he believes in the might of the military forces. So he won't back down. He'll take a shot.
You can't actually see them yet.
Okay.
They are outside of a stockade. They kind of shot. It's a low stockade. So they shot over it and they're ducked down behind it.
I'll take a wild shot to prove that we are not going to give up.
Okay. Keep in mind it will take you, I think, 3 rounds to reload the musket.
Oh, we don't have a bat boy to do that? A person to load our muskets for us?
Okay. No, you do not.
That's right. I still think I'll have time to load the muskets. So I will be, but still give him a bit of a scare. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I call a short-lived adventure for Gary.
Sergeant Ambrose fires his musket into the air in defiance. Mr. Wellington.
I will yell out in Iroquois, which is probably not actually a language, but it has that language on my character sheet, that we are here in peace and we do not seek war.
Running Fox.
I think I'm. So I'm with.
And I will
them.
Also hide somewhere behind shelter.
Okay.
I don't want to get shot.
Yeah, that's going to be my first go-to, which is to duck down and then try to figure out where the shots are coming from and try to creep around behind them.
Okay. Mr. Howard.
Yeah, I think hiding is a good option there. Can you remind me, Jim, is this thing actually defensible, or we slip through really easy? Is it just kind of a few sticks stuck up, or could we actually like hide behind the wall and peek through successfully?
It's in places. It's just a few sticks stuck up. In places, it's a little more, call it a fence than a wall. Again, it is. You know, it is a palisade. They are mostly sharpened sticks and,
mm-hmm.
you know, or tree limbs and that sort of thing. But this was, you know, clearly built by, you know, trappers. This was not a military encampment.
Right, right. Well, there's those little houses on the edge or whatever. They may stop arrows and stuff, so we can probably see from there. Yeah, I'll take cover in one of those things.
Mr. Wellington, would you make a persuade roll, please?
Sure. I'm going to say that 83 does not beat my persuade.
The same voice who cried out to begin with calls out again in Seneca. Which of you speak Seneca again? Is it just
two Seneca warriors?
So
one of whom isn't here.
I speak Iroquois, which... It says that the Seneca were members of the Iroquois League, so I don't know what speaking Iroquois actually means, but.
Same here.
Iroquois is a proper language, and it's a family of languages.
Right, so it's a family. Is it
dialects?
Yeah. So I was born in the Seneca Nation, so I assume I speak it, but you know, I'm just looking around and, oh, wait, there we go. Yeah, I do. It's my own language. I'm very good at it.
I would hope so.
One would think.
The same voice cries out, "We will have our revenge on you, Wendigo." Private Shattuck.
I should be out of the tent already, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, my hands raised, and I'll say, we're after the French. The French were the ones who did this. We can join forces. There's so many people dead here.
Are you saying that's in English?
In Iroquois.
Okay.
See if anyone catches it.
Make a persuade roll.
Okay.
Can I help him, since I'm going to be doing basically the same thing?
Make a persuade roll with a bonus die.
Okay. And we check. Unfortunately, I'm not very good at persuade, but let me just.
Then you can spend all your luck.
Yeah, it's too high. Maybe the fast. No, no way. No, I cannot do it. I'm not a talker.
Okay.
I'm usually the quiet type.
All white men might be infected. We will destroy you, Sergeant Ambrose. Quietly and furiously beginning to reload his musket.
With you, yeah. Gary.
I assume.
Sorry, I was on mute. Can I pick out where that voice is?
Yes, it is near the entrance to this camp, which again is you can call it a gate. It's really just a hole in the fence. There's not like a swinging gate that you could close.
I'm actually going to go down there and screw on the bayonet onto my gun.
Okay.
And head down to where I think the voice is coming from.
Sure. You can run over there and attach your bayonet. Mr. Wellington.
How many muskets fired do I think, roughly?
Like idea roll?
Dozens, idea roll? That may not be a success. Nope, that's a failure, so you can lie to me.
Not dozens, less than that.
Okay.
More than two. Less than many dozens.
I will go to the opposite part of the circle and see about breaking open some of the fence to get out the backside.
Okay. Running Fox.
Where am I in your brain? I was trying to sneak around behind them. Where am I geographically? You can put me anywhere you want.
Where would you like to be?
I would like, is there a hillside nearby here?
Not really. It's all the, terrain in the camp is all pretty flat.
Okay. So when I am some distance away from the white folk, I am going to hold up my hands and yell out, my brothers, these people had nothing to do with any of this.
Persuade roll with a bonus die.
Righty. So, picking out the old dice. That's a 0-2. Thanks for the extra dice.
You're welcome. Who are you? What is your name?
I gave him my, I mean, I don't know, Running Fox of the Turtle Clan.
Running Fox of the Turtle Clan. What is this guy's name? There it is. I am two foxes. Come, let us speak. Are you certain these white men are not infected with the spirit of Wendigo?
I am sure, because we have just arrived here, but there are some white men hanging in the longhouse there that may be affected by it. And we have not found all of the white folk that we know are here. He may be out in the woods. We could use your help in tracking him down, because I have very low tracking skills.
We will come in and speak. Do you guarantee safety? Do you guarantee safe passage? Will your men attack?
Well, let me go and check with them first, because they are a
fickle
bunch.
One of them
seems
a little hot-headed.
So, yes, I will approach the group and say they are willing to talk, but they need guarantee of safe passage. And I will look at Gary's character, whose name I can't right here.
Safe passage? They attacked us first.
And they will attack you last if you do not give up this fight.
Well, how about this? We'll allow them to take the safe passage and they can come and talk to us and then they can leave and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do, Sergeant. Why don't you put your gun down and come with me? Okay. I can assure you they're better armed than you are. So, which I don't know if it actually is true, but I'm going to say it to him anyway.
Well, he'll put down his rifle and check to make sure he's got a handgun.
Yeah, and the handgun really? Too. I mean, I've been with you for a while.
Yeah.
This is not my first rodeo with the white folk.
Okay, so he just slides his bayonet back into his sheaths on his waist and heads off after you.
Oh, that will help you for about 3 seconds. Okay, yeah. And I will say, if anybody else wishes to come without weaponry, that would be fine.
I guess I should go, so I will put down, I actually, the rifle was in my back when I walk out, so I will just remove it, put it there on the ground, not on the ground, lie there against the tent, the longhouse, and go with you.
Are they coming in, or is Running Fox going out to them?
I think at the moment they're more meeting at the gate.
Meeting at the gate. Okay.
So I'm thinking I'll eventually get there as I go around the outside, which was sort of my plan, but I will not be aggressive.
Okay. So Running Fox, you lead your compatriots around to the gate, and a group of seven, no, I'm sorry, a dozen, 12, Seneca warriors kind of appear out of the mist. They are all armed. They are all wrapped up in thick blankets. It is still bitterly cold, of course. Their faces are painted in black and in black charcoal and red ochre. Make a psychology roll. Everyone can make a psychology roll, actually.
Nope.
I didn't pass, no.
Good roll, but bad skill.
I'm going to spend 1 point of luck and make that a success.
Okay. They're all carrying muskets, and they have war clubs slung at their waist. Their muskets are all down, right? They're not carrying them any threatening way, any threatening manner. They're all kind of looking around. They all look very nervous.
As they should.
They're not the only ones.
And one of them
on the loose.
One of them steps forward. Running Fox, I am two foxes. Well met.
And you. What so brings you are, here? You're seeking some sort of creature?
Someone killed Red Hawk, our medicine man, in his bed. Someone who ran faster than a deer. None of us got a good look at him, but he was dressed in a white flannel shirt and little else. We tracked him for many weeks. His trail led here.
Well, he has managed to convince some French to assist him in a raid on a British convoy, which is why we are here, to find the supplies and find who did this. We spoke to Running Deer. Wait, I'm Running Fox, right? Running Deer.
Yes.
Is he part of their tribe? I can't even.
No,
I wouldn't even know. Okay. Anyway, he spoke of a wild man, not a native, who was running with no shoes, snowshoes across the snow.
Is the spirit of the Wendigo? You know of it, of course.
Of course. Do I? I mean, I as a player do, but do I as a character?
Occult role?
I have not heard that particular legend.
I guess not.
Interesting. So I'll just say, Chief, what is this Wendigo that you're talking about? We're hunting a very dangerous man. He murdered a lot of our friends, and now he apparently murdered also those that, you know, we're working with him. There are like five bodies hanging there in that tent. We found some three more over there, Night Point, where we found the frozen bodies.
Yes, that is Wendigo. It is a story from the Algonquin on the far shore. When a man eats the flesh of another man, the Wendigo enters him. And no other food will ever satisfy him. He becomes cold and cruel. He is cursed to roam the mountain forests forever.
Well, he apparently is very strong. Is there a way for us to stop him? Do they have kind of a way to fight this spirit? I don't believe, you know, this thing, right? But I will follow just to see if they have anything.
He shrugs. The Wendigo's heart is black, bitter ice. Melt the heart and perhaps the Wendigo will die. I believe this Wendigo to be a white man. He will therefore favor the flesh of other white men.
Yes, he certainly is.
Dealing with him is therefore a task for white men.
So I'll be translating to the sergeant as we go. I feel like that's probably my role and part in this.
He is speaking English. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Then I will not translate.
Yeah.
Wait, are you with us in this little group, or are you? I thought you.
Yeah,
were...
I remember. I had gone out the back to sort of sneak around, and so I ended up that you guys were conversing, which was great.
Yep.
You can see that I'm probably visibly upset at all of this idea of spirits taking over us.
The sergeant's not just a cool thing. Hands always near his bayonet. As he eyes them all off.
May the Great Spirit favor you. We will leave you to your Wendigo hunt and wish you success.
Oof.
Very well, Chief.
And with that, kind of summons his band together, and they leave.
Wow. That could have gone a lot worse.
Although cooler heads.
Been nice to have them on our side. Yeah.
Could have gone a lot better. I mean, we could have wiped them. We're Englishmen. Well, I'm an Englishman.
You're saying it right in front of Running Fox. That's such a good idea.
I'm sure that's not the first time Running Fox has heard that.
But it's probably the first time in an isolated environment with a horrible creature out stalking them.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
Right. When you can easily do something about it.
Oh,
well. We need to stop this column. He is a representation of the devil.
Colin. Oh, the guy, Colin, or Colin, or whatever.
Mm.
Right. Sorry.
So this deed has done some deal with the devil? Become a demon of some sort?
He's eating the flesh of other men.
Their livers especially.
So I started talking about this before we were attacked. I mean, is there a chance? He offered some of them eternal life by doing some sort of ritual. He treated them differently than the ones that rebelled. I mean, is there any chance that those half-humans in the Long Hut are going to come alive? If so, shouldn't we just set it on fire to melt their hearts?
Are they half-humans or are they just half, like, leftover steaks, basically, like pieces of people.
To be honest,
yeah, we should you know, set them on fire anyways. But to be honest, I believe that those that we found are the ones that rebelled against him, or that didn't want to eat the flesh, because from what I'm seeing is that whoever is doing this, you know, when they take their liver out, that's it. You know, it's not like they're going to become zombies or anything like that. It's just like whoever is eating the liver is the one that is getting stronger.
Yeah, their ambush didn't go as they planned. The idea, obviously, they were cooking up enough for a group of men. But, I wonder how many of them actually ate the livers. Yeah, accepted. Exactly. And how many were, because we have no idea how many were here to begin with, even if we took into account the numbers we saw at the ambush site, plus these hanging up here, plus the ones in the snow. We don't know how many there are.
Figure it out from the bedding and so forth.
Well, it's interesting. It's that, you know, the last entry of the diary is from a month ago.
Hmm. Oh, is that, I guess we should ask if that's a misprint, because it was only a few days ago that they actually had the ambush that we know about.
Right.
No, it was at least a week ago, because, right, we traveled 3 days and running bare.
Yeah, you're okay. You're right.
That's right. And, yeah, about a week ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's January 9th now. So it's been 8 days. That makes sense.
Oh, January 9th. Okay, got it. Yeah, I was thinking about February
2nd. I did the
2nd.
Same thing. I looked at the today's thing and went, oh, it's February 2nd. Where'd the month go?
No, as hard as it is to believe, we actually have an in-game calendar that's correct.
Fan check.
So probably this was written just before they attacked the caravan.
I mean, so it's not possible that it was successful, because there's been activity since then, right? But yeah, I think burning the hut and then tracking the barefoot man from here, we could somehow probably try to do.
Now,
I'm no longer as worried about attracting attention with the fire, since we have already attracted attention and survived.
Yeah, we don't want to burn everything because our supplies are here, which is a big part of the reason we're here.
Yes, we could simply take the supplies and some of the supplies and leave, but I think there's a greater danger.
So you believe the stories then? Certainly these men did, but...
Yes. No, it seems very likely.
Well, I'm not good at the tracking. Do we have
someone? That's why we have trackers.
Yeah. We don't have the means right now to bring back this food, right?
Certainly not all of it, no.
We'll back up what we can and take what we can, burn the rest.
What? Burn? No.
No.
We, our men are starving in the fort, and these supplies are their only chance to make it through the winter, I think.
Can we not send them back to a safe place?
We'll send more men. We'll go back and send more men to pick them up.
These things came in big sleighs. They're in boxes. I mean,
it's amazing they made it to here from the ambush site.
Yeah.
But,
and they didn't have, sleigh tracks to follow either, right? I mean...
No, they just carried them. So however many men... Maybe they are very strong now, perhaps with the strength of this Wendigo.
Mm. Now, what the thing kind of makes sense to me is they were actually cooking. And... there was a fight, you know. There probably were some men willing to actually eat whatever they were cooking. And then that's when the fight started. Maybe after this guy wrote the diary. And I wonder if we should... Quick question, let's see. At this point in time, for instance... Should they have IDs, you know, like a paper with their name and so forth? Okay. There's no way for us to recognize who this man who wrote the diary is, right?
I mean, you can kind of quickly search the bodies and you wouldn't find anything.
Okay, cool.
And you would know that, you know, a soldier in the army, right? Like you, Private Shattuck, and certainly Sergeant Ambrose, you know, would have a warrant card, right? You know, who you are, your rank, your unit, that sort of thing. You know, but a group of random French trappers living in the wilderness, they're not going to have a, sure they're one. Not going to have anything.
Okay.
So I will start preparing the long hut to be burned.
Okay. What about the bodies in the snow? Are you going to pitch them into the long hut to be burned as well, or are you just going to leave them buried in the snow? Or
All
of them.
Okay.
That's the meat locker, if we're understanding this correctly. We don't want to leave any sustenance.
Did we have any thoughts about the longhouse? Because the longhouse was obviously here a lot longer than the rest of the, you know, the palisades and the outer buildings didn't really belong of, like, why that was here. Because these were just a bunch of French trappers. They didn't seem to be, you know, have lived here for a long time.
So you would know that it would not at all be unusual for a group of trappers or a camp like this to, you know, utilize an abandoned, longhouse or an abandoned camp.
Gotcha.
The focus for their camp. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Being how big that I am and my physique, I'll be grabbing and dragging bodies to the longhouse.
Okay. Doesn't take you that long to get the bodies inside and...
Oh, make sure they're all dead.
They are all dead.
Okay.
Wow, if they're not, we have a bigger problem. I will say, though, that, you know, as soon as we light that flame, and this guy is going to know, whoever this guy is going to know He's obviously an experienced trapper. We should be prepared that he's going to come back to find out what's happening to his larder.
Very good. That's the goal, right? Perhaps easier to have him come to us than to try to track him down.
I agree. We should lure, we should lure him in. And we should make our stand here where we have food and shelter.
Maybe one of the trackers can figure out, look at the ground around, figure out where he may have, the direction he may have left, and we can lie in wait on his way back.
We did look, and it seemed like the only tracks were coming in the gate. So somewhere he may either have gone back towards the ambush site, or he broke off into the woods somewhere. You know, but it was back that way, the way we came from.
Well, we did see that that shape in the night. Sorry, Gary, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Quick question. Looking around with my characters with the history being in the army, do I have any knowledge of how to basically make this place more secure?
Oh, absolutely.
For us. How about I start securing down this place, make it more secure for us?
Brilliant.
Cool. Are there just other peasants or people there? No. So it's just us.
Yep.
Okay. I'll need one other person and I'll get started.
Yeah, I'm happy to help. We've got military training.
Yep, you can certainly reinforce the palisade.
Yep. That's what I'll
do. Get it a little more organized, a little more defensible. The afternoon passes as that is done. Sun begins to set, temperature drops.
Luckily, we have the warmth of the long hut to the warmth of the burning long hut to keep us.
Yep, you can go ahead and fire the. You can go ahead and fire the long hut. It burns not great. It's more of a smoldering burn, lots of smoke. Just because it is cold and damp, but you can get it to kind of smolder away.
Excellent.
Night falls.
Nervous. I got some serious praying to do, I believe, this evening. I will do that.
You know, something has occurred to me as we've been waiting for the Wendigo to show up, this guy. The Mohawk who made it down to our fort was a running bear. He actually said that he knocked the wild
man down.
Yeah. That worries me. I wonder. Well, no, he wouldn't have been the Wendigo. We saw someone in the night, but yeah, I'm worried about our fort now as well.
I'd like to also. I guess we're gonna need a bunch of torches because we have to burn this guy's heart. So I think if fire is our friend for this, I'd like to make sure we're ready.
You can certainly prepare some torches, have them set up and burning.
Were there, did the Frenchmen here have weapons, the ones we in the Long Hut?
Yes, you can find some knives and muskets.
Okay, so I will fill up the muskets so they're ready to go, so we can...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who in our group is the best shot, but I think we should have a rotation. Where they each round they have a gun and then somebody else is reloading in between.
I seem to hit about half my targets.
I hit nearly that much.
I hit about three quarters of my targets. Just a little bit under three quarters of my targets.
Wow.
I got the feeling. Get the feeling the sergeant's going to be one of those guys who already has two or three muskets on him.
So how are you passing the night? Is just everyone staying up and huddled in a circle, nervously awaiting attack, or are you sleeping, and With one or two men on watch, what's the order of business
sleep
here?
Sleep with men on watch. I will not take sleeping. First watch if anybody else wants it as well.
No, yeah, we should organize ourselves in couples because you know, this guy seems to be very fast.
I'll sleep when the sun comes up.
So yeah, I'll here. You know, I will pair with the sergeant.
So yeah, I'm going to look around and try to find a location that I think would give me some, that's close enough, but some vantage, like relying on my woodland skills, or maybe even sort of dig out a little hole or something. So I'm below the snow, just trying to find some way of trying to get the drop on this guy, or at least hear him before he's coming.
You can certainly do that. You know, a little, even like a deer blind up in a tree.
Yeah.
You know, you think might not be a bad idea.
Yep.
I'm going to make sure that I've got two loaded muskets and slung around my shoulders, and I will basically do the rounds, walking the perimeter.
Okay. Would everyone make spot hidden and listen rolls?
Ooh. Hidden is
hidden. That's...
I passed my spot hidden roll.
I got an extreme success.
And fail my listen.
I got extreme success on my spot hidden and 33 for listen.
I have an extreme on my listen.
Normal success on listen.
Lots of successes.
It's very noisy and covered up in the tree blind.
I was actually going to say that Running Fox, you could have a bonus die.
Oh.
On both of those?
Doesn't help. Okay. Thank you.
Wow.
Is that because of the tree blind or just because he's running Fox?
Because he's up in the tree blind. So, you know, the night falls. The temperature drops even further, of course. It is bitterly, bitterly cold. As you're all kind of are huddled up and nervously awaiting what you think is going to happen. And occasionally you hear the sound of an animal scratching in the trees, rustling of wind in the branches. And the next morning dawns. You can all make con rolls, please.
Mm-hmm. 81.
That's not going to make it.
Okay.
Apparently, the deer blind, while useless from a sensory perspective, is very warm.
Luckily, the longhouse 17. Fire is probably warm too. But
maybe the reason you couldn't see is because of all the blankets you had on.
Put some over my head.
Ears.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't have a taste for my people.
That's right. Not yet.
Anyone who failed can have a penalty die on any physical activity for a while.
Nice.
So it's daytime now, right?
Let's call it dawn.
Dawn?
Yep. Yeah. You see the first rays of the sun start to peek over the tree line. On the morning of January 10th.
I'll go to sleep.
Question, Jim. Do we recall if running deer told us they were attacked during the night or during the day?
I believe he said that they were attacked during the day.
It's been a few days already. I say we get back to the camp with whatever supplies we can carry with us. Then we bring more people to hunt down these men because our people are starving.
And as on that point, I will remind you that it's a 4-day hike to get back to the fort.
Right.
So at this point, it would be at least 12 days for these supplies to get to the fort. right? Because you have to get there, tell them where they are. They have to come out, get them, bring them back. So that's 12 days.
So yeah. Any of these native people could track him?
Wow. A lot to unpack there.
We do have several trackers.
Well, why don't we try to track him?
Because we have to get food back to the fort.
Because there are people starving.
We've got enough food for the fort.
Well, we need to get some back.
Send people here to get the food. Right, we can take some back, and then we have to focus on the anti-scurvy food.
Why don't you send up the trackers to see where the other guys are? We'll take the food back, and we'll have a meetup point.
Yeah. Oof. I'm not splitting up the party in that way. Let's send a smaller group to go looking for the crazy guy.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting approach, but...
Only tracking, not actually attacking him, but just tracking.
I'm not sure how much choice we have. I mean,
that would be days, yeah, a lot of days. If they found him, what would they do? Just follow him around for days and stay hidden?
Try to lead him back to us. And then we can surprise him.
I'd rather stay away from him. Let somebody else take care of him. It's not our problem if we can get away from him and get our food to the fort. This is a demon we're talking about. I don't
think we need to track it down. Here.
Yes, that's good.
But it is the French and... the war between the French and the British, and we're the British, so it's not a big loss.
No, yeah.
Maybe he's focused on attacking his own, his own French troops, people.
Yeah, well, likes French, has a taste for the French.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seems good.
That would be nice, yeah.
Okay, well,
so there was a sledge, just set around here, right? When we came here?
There was, but the oxen had done it or hauled them.
Well, it's a day away from here. Yeah, the sledge is a day from here.
Yeah.
Where the ambush was.
Right.
And you have no oxen to pull it.
Right.
Right. But, yeah.
And, while a couple of you could probably pull it through the snow empty, laden, there's no chance.
Yeah. I think our only chance is to carry what we can, move quickly.
Yeah.
And,
focus on the anti-scurvy, because that's really what, I mean, the issue is not that our people are starving. The issue, I mean, in that there's plenty of hardtack and salt pork and whatnot, but we have to get enough, vegetable matter to them to keep them from dying of scurvy, and I think we can presumably do that. It doesn't take a lot.
Yeah, let's start packing. So that's what the James Shattuck is going to do. He's going to start kind of taking recommendations on food that we can carry and put it somewhere that we can take with us easily. Maybe a smaller crate or whatever that we can, take among four of us with some sticks.
Some sticks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, kind of take the box and put it,
make a palanquin kind of thing?
Sticks on top of
it. We could actually make little sleds, right? You just drag, you can drag a small sled behind you as you snowshoe through, and we could probably carry a fair amount of food that way.
Yes.
How many people are there besides players, PCs?
None.
How many here? None.
None. Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking...
Back at the fort, sorry. Like 100?
Okay, so I'm looking at these sleds. If they can fill them up, I'm a pretty big guy. Could I think I could drag a couple of them?
Well, the sled idea is kind of where you guys would go, right? It, you know, being all kind of experienced with the snow in the north here, you know, you can certainly load up some of the supplies, but not nearly all of them.
Right.
Well, we like how many sleds are there?
Well, you can just make some.
Done. Right? We have to make some.
Yep.
Oh, we have to make some. Okay. Yeah.
Cut some branches, lash them together. You would all be capable. You would all be more than capable of doing that.
Yeah, but I probably don't think that we should all go and take this back.
Well, you might have a mutiny on your hands then.
Yeah. I look around at the other guys and the sergeant says that.
Well,
like,
if we get a group of people going that back there, we have to make sure whether or not this Wendigo thing, whatever it is, this guy is coming back here, which means we need at least a couple of people here who are good with guns to basically defend the area.
Why? This is French territory.
Yeah, this is not
our
fort.
I guess it's neutral territory, but
yeah,
it's not of strategic importance.
It would be dangerous without the Wendigo. It would be dangerous to leave people out here by themselves, I think.
We're English. We don't retreat.
Sure.
I kind of awkwardly look at my feet.
I think there's two English people amongst us.
Yeah, like, actually, I was going to ask Jim, and I know that we asked this in the first session, but for instance, Shattuck, does he think of himself as an English or as an American already?
I leave that up to you.
Okay, American then.
By the way, just the personal description. I don't know if you guys had the personal description at the start of
we do.
Yeah, of mine, yeah, absolute giant of a man, over 6 foot tall and built like Hercules. Yeah, so.
We don't want you eating any livers.
Right.
Serge, we need to go back. Let's start packing and. We can, you know, rethink our strategy once we get some food to our people. And I keep, you know, building the sledge and, you know.
Yeah, well, I can at least pull two sleds, which will make
things quicker.
Well,
you just put more weight on yours.
Yeah, put more weight on mine, yep. Okay, let's get packing. Building sleds and packing.
Okay, that'll take you the morning.
And then as we're getting ready to, before we're getting out there, the last couple of hours, I want to basically keep an eye out, keep a lookout from the wall to see if there's anything out there.
You can all make spot hidden rolls with a penalty die while you are constructing your sleds. And
sorry, was it a penalty or a bonus die? I didn't hear.
Sure, definitely said bonus. Definitely.
I get a success even with the penalty.
Yeah, I think I might also have a success even with the penalty spot hidden.
I failed.
Yep, I made my spot here even with the penalty.
The area around the encampment is quiet. And there is no movement.
Very good.
As midday approaches and you have everything packed up and ready to go.
If this is a French held place, or was held by the French, should we destroy it so they can't use it against us?
We burned the longhouse.
You already burned part of the longhouse.
Yeah, the only thing that was significantly, or that was actually worth anything, the rest of it's just a bunch of sticks.
Yeah, I think the point was made earlier. There's definitely no strategic value to this location or this camp.
Yep.
And yep. These were just trappers. This was not a military encampment or outpost of any kind.
Let us go then back to get the food back to the English.
Okay, and I assume everyone is going. You're not leaving a rear guard behind here to guard the rest of the supplies, or
any volunteers? Oh, nope. Okay.
Wait for a cannibal demon to show up, or
right, exactly.
Anything like that? Sheesh. Okay, so you head back out into the snow. It's easy enough to know kind of which way to go. I mean, you could just follow, you know, your tracks back. You can kind of cut some corners. You have this area kind of mapped out well enough. It's not a problem. And we will fast forward a bit as it takes you basically 3.5 days and you make it back to the fort on the 14th of January.
Whew.
Is there a fort to come back to?
There is.
Ah.
Amazing.
You call up the guards are very happy to see you. Did you find the supplies? The gates are opened.
Yes.
Colonel Ayer is waiting for your report.
Well, here, take this and send it to whoever the food person is. There's an officer for that.
Some soldiers come out and they break down the sleds and carry off the few supplies you brought back.
Lemons or whatever.
Well, you're British. It's created limes.
Right. So it's good for the scurvy. I guess we'll go report.
This way, gentlemen. Colonel Erie is excited to hear your report. The soldier kind of leads you back into the main building there and back to the colonel's office. Gentlemen, success, I hope.
Not really, yes. Sir.
What?
Yes, and not really.
Partial success, sir. We found the food, but we have bad news.
Well, is it intact? Can you provide directions? I can send a detachment immediately to recover it.
Yeah.
And he kind of yells out for some paper for you to write down some directions and. Summons a sergeant to arrange a couple squads and some sledges to, and they run off and start to organize.
I assume somebody's going to tell him about the crazy man in the woods.
Yes.
Barefoot so man what, killing people.
What I was going to do. The party was attacked and we found this diary written by one of the Frenchmen. And I gave in the diary that we found. There were signs of cannibalism all over the place, sir. We're dealing with at least one crazy man, very strong crazy man. There could be others. We don't know for sure. But we need to be extra careful.
Only the French would engage in such cannibalism. He kind of scans over the diary. Yes, clearly written by a madman. But
I can tell you that the things we saw back then You know, I've never seen before in my life.
He kind of eyes you.
We have the testimony of, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. We are dealing with real savages here, sir. So, we need to be extra careful. That's all I'm saying.
It's just French. Crazy from the cold, I'm sure. That matches up with what that man Anderson said.
Anderson.
Quick question, Jim. Just as a side, I'm a grenadier. Do I have grenades?
No.
Grenadiers were known. Their job was they're big, tough, and they could throw grenades far, long distances.
I mean, there would be some here at the fort, but you know, you're not going to be carrying them around with you all the time.
Is that name Anderson new to us?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I was about to say the other guy was Running Deer, who was the Mohawk guide, yeah. And then Coulon is the only guy mentioned in the diary, I think. But that's the Wendigo thing. I'm sorry, sir. You said Anderson?
Yes, a fellow Joseph Anderson. He showed up here at the fort. Oh, what was it, 3 days ago now? Half dead from the cold. It's a Scotsman, trader, land surveyor. He'd been traveling up from Fort Pitt. Said he was captured by some Frenchmen and tortured, but they started to fight amongst themselves and he managed to escape.
Could we speak with this man, sir?
Is Fort Pitt in the direction that we just came from?
In a vague, it's south of here kind of idea, yes.
Okay.
Fort Pitt would be southwest of here.
Right? Oh, and we were coming from the east. I think just now.
Yes.
Quick question, Jim, for you. When we saw this man who was talking to us in the woods. It was like a 3 days distance from here, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, are you sure of the veracity of the tale of this Anderson? What if he is the same man that we're looking for? This Coulomb.
Well, Coulomb sounds like a French name. This man said he was Scottish. This man was Scottish. Coulomb, Anderson?
Too quickly?
They don't sound anything alike. You're welcome to go speak with him if you like. He's in the hospital.
Yeah, why not? Let's go and talk to him.
You can certainly do that. As you make your way there, you can see, the garrison is very excited about the news of the supplies having been recovered. There's a flurry of activity preparing sledges and a team of oxen to go get them.
We'll never see them again. Well, Sergeant, if you want to be in on the hunt, you might want to go with them.
I was going to say, shouldn't we go with them to lead them to the food and stuff?
Give them directions.
Yeah, I understand, but that can't be as good as us actually going.
And I'll actually speak to the officer in charge and see if I can acquisition some grenades, just in case this creature.
Well, we're not under attack, Sergeant. They're in the depot. Should there be an assault?
Okay, and I'll head off with the people to make sure that they get to and from the place safely.
So you're going to go with the recovery party? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I'm going to go with the recovery party.
Okay. Sergeant Ambrose, you head out with the recovery party. So Sergeant Ambrose will be on his own for the next 8 days, or 6 days, 7 days.
We'll go and talk to this Anderson.
Okay. You make your way over to the hospital. You know, can ask for Anderson, and you are brought to a cot and introduced to Mr. Joseph Anderson. He is a small, thin fellow. He has a long undershirt on, which is clearly too big for him, clearly borrowed. Spot hidden rolls.
It's
not so much
hard, or maybe even extreme success.
Okay. He, in addition to his shirt, he has gloves on, riding gloves. He looks a little tired, a little weak, a little frail. Yes. What may I do for you, gentlemen?
Do I recognize any hints of French accent?
No.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Anderson, we're here to hear your story. We're interested in, you know, to hear what happened to you. We actually ran into the camp. We want to know if it is the same or if you're talking about a different one. Can you tell us what happened to you?
Certainly, of course. I was coming up from Fort Pitt on a surveying journey, and I was fell upon by some French fellows, trappers, I believe they were. They brought me to their camp, and they believed I was spying for the British. They tortured me in, he kind of shudders, some most ungodly ways. But after a few days, some of them left, and then came back, and they were, and I don't speak French, so I don't know. They were all upset about something, and there were some arguments, and they fell to fighting, and I think some of them had strung up some of the others and were cutting them open, but I managed to sneak out in the confusion and somehow made my way here.
You know how many men were on the winning side?
I didn't stick around to see, I'm afraid.
So, how many days from the fort is what was this camp? Do you know?
Oh, I'm afraid I was somewhat delirious, but I think it took me perhaps 3, maybe 4 days to get here.
Okay. Jim, do I see any kind of signs of frostbite in his fingers, face, you know, feet?
Well, you don't see any on his fingers because he has gloves on.
Yeah.
How about a first aid roll.
No.
So no, you can't tell if there's evidence of frostbite on his face.
Okay. Is it warm enough here, like, that we don't need to use gloves, or?
Oh, yeah. Inside like this? Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your hands are okay. I see that you're wearing gloves.
Oh, my hands were badly frostbitten and from the walk through the snow. My fingers are quite unsightly. Find it more comfortable. And one of your fine officers was kind enough to lend me these gloves.
I see. Do you know who was in charge in that camp?
I couldn't say that. It didn't seem like anyone in particular was. There were a few that were questioning me more than others, but I'm afraid I didn't stop to ask their names.
Was any of them barefoot when he was talking to you or going around the camp?
Barefoot? In that weather? No, I should hardly think so.
I will roll a psychology. I'll make a psychology roll here, if you allow me.
Of course.
Let me check. Maybe if I burn some luck. No, I need to burn so much luck, and I'm not a very lucky guy. Okay. Pretty good. I will just make room for the others to, you know, ask questions if they have any.
Is he alone in the hospital wing?
No. There are a few, maybe less than half a dozen members of the garrison that are here for various minor injuries or, you know, particularly acute scurvy.
Does this guy Anderson seem to be particularly charismatic? Like they're kind of paying a lot of attention to him and hanging on his every word kind of thing?
You would describe him as quite charismatic, yes. He seems to be a very kind of friendly, engaging fellow. You know, the kind of person that you would definitely want to sit and spend time with.
Gotcha. As I finger my hatchet, I think, no, I don't want to spend time with him. I don't have any other questions, though.
Okay.
Well, so does he think, I mean, he knows the general direction, but he doesn't know exactly where the camp was. Does he, I'm going to ask him if he saw any landmarks that he could sort of remember seeing as he was making his way through the cold.
And your point is trying to figure out if the camp that he's talking about is the same one that you were at.
Yeah.
How about a navigate roll with a bonus die?
Ooh, that's a 12. I might have to burn 12 luck, but no, only have to burn 2 luck. Great.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
From his descriptions of the camp itself and from the, you know, kind of direction and, you know, there's not really a whole lot of landmarks, but you're quite certain that the camp that he escaped from is the same one that you were recently at.
That's all I had.
Yeah. So I guess we'll step outside the place and I will take my pipe and start smoking. And what do you think?
I think there are many evil things out there. I hope we survive until spring.
Fortunately, Sergeant Ambrose is headed out to deal with them.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be good when they return with all the food.
I meant about this Anderson guy. He's still gaping there. No, we saw at least how many? 8 men were dead? How many more there have been? Like, he escaped without being seen in 3 days. No food.
Fighting and killing each other. What are you worried about?
No.
James?
I'm worried that he might be this French guy.
Well, if he was the French guy, why would he be, right? He would be healthy and killing us if he was this French guy. Why would he come in disguise? It seems like this man has been attacking and eating.
Well, because remember, he has a taste for you, white people. And right. Here's a whole camp filled with white people.
Right. So I don't understand why he would be lying lying in the hospital when he could have just come and run in. Apparently he can fly and he's faster than the wind. I mean, he would just come in and take us and leave. I don't see why he would sit in the hospital for 3 days not eating us.
I don't know. Let's just keep an eye on him.
Yeah, sure, right. But I'm more concerned that perhaps he was fed some of the, maybe it takes a while, I don't know.
Liver?
Yes. I don't know what happens to them. I mean, the dead men that we saw seemed quite dead, which is a good sign.
Well, I guess there's nothing else we can do if we're not going to go out hunting for the creature.
Let's go sleep off this penalty die.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a long week. I mean, I assume we're pretty exhausted from...
it's hard work, tramping.
4 days hiking through the winter, and then 4 days back pulling sleds.
Yep.
I'm amazed we're still standing. I mean, I guess... Yeah.
You're given some because you have been you're kind of been welcomed back as kind of heroes, and you are a little extra tired. You're not so banged up that you need to be in the hospital, but you're given bunks in the chapel in the main building.
Wonderful.
It is nice and toasty and warm.
Yeah, say a prayer for the recovery parties that are going out. And the sergeant.
Of course. The rest of the day passes. You fall asleep. Listen rolls.
This is when Anderson attacks us.
Yeah.
Death.
Oh, that's a good one.
Huh. It's either feast or famine. 03.
I have a hard success.
At some point late in the night, you are awakened, and you can hear from down the hall, singing and carousing and cheering.
That sounds like fun. Yes, I've had a few hours of sleep. We'll join the crowd.
As you look out the windows, you can see the snow is falling. It is a heavy snowfall. Obviously it's dark, but you would normally be able to see, you know, torches and lanterns throughout the fort from here. But the snow is falling so thickly you can't see really anything out the window. You make your way down the hall and inside, and there is there are about a half a dozen soldiers around the room, and they're all kind of clapping and cheering and go on, and they're all kind of focused on, in the center of the room, you see Mr. Anderson, and he is the one singing. It is a very kind of clear, bright, very, very beautiful, lovely melody. You can't make out any words. He's definitely not singing in English.
Does he significantly seem much better, healthier, stronger than he did a mere few hours ago?
How about...
He's still wearing his gloves?
He is still wearing his gloves, yes. He is still wearing his oversized shirt and some breeches.
What am I rolling?
How about first aid?
First aid, that is a hard success.
He definitely seems kind of stronger, more chipper.
Okay.
Than he did this afternoon.
But not necessarily unnaturally so.
Yeah. Running Fox, you can make an occult roll.
Nope.
This is what the journal
like an important
says.
One.
What's that?
Sounds like an important one.
Yeah, sure does. But you know, like you, I'm pretty unlucky.
This sure is what the journal says. Yeah, this Kulun is proving popular with the men. Right? Shares stories. Who knows? Huh? Well, we'll find out.
He begins to dance, and he kind of, you know, like a little jig, kind of circular dance there in the room, and he kind of exhorts some of the men to get up and join him, and they do. As you guys, you know, come into the room, he calls out to you, "Come, join us, dance, lift your spirits."
I will go in.
And he continues singing in this very high, beautiful melody.
I'll just cross my arms, you know, and lie against the wall, looking at him intently. That certain level of intensity. I'm more suspicious of this guy than before.
Okay. Let us cut out to Sergeant Ambrose. Half a day out from the fort, your party has stopped to camp for the night. You've set up camp, and as the night falls and the temperature drops, and continues to drop, and the wind starts to blow, and the snow starts to fall, and you're actually kind of woken up in your tent in the middle of the night as the tent collapses on top of you.
Okay, I'll basically pull myself out.
And you kind of, you know, try to, you know, push yourself out. You can feel a weight pressing down on you from the, you know, if the can, it's not just the canvas has fallen in, and you immediately recognize that your tent has been buried in snow.
Would I have a small shovel if I pack?
It's not impossible, sure.
Yeah, so I'll try to dig myself out.
You can dig yourself out and up, and you kind of come out into the middle of a howling blizzard. The snow is falling thicker and heavier than, you know, you have ever seen. You look around and you can't even see the shapes of the trees around you. You certainly, you know, can't see any evidence of, you know, any of the other tents or guardsmen. I mean, clearly your entire encampment has just been buried in snow.
Okay. Can I reach back down and grab my my musket?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll pull it out to get it all ready. Basically see if I can I'll get close, basically move close and low to the snow, keeping an eye out around us. I'm going to be also shouting to see if I can hear voices that may be under the snow, knowing where the tents were.
Listen roll with a penalty die.
Listen roll with a penalty die, okay. Penalty dice. That goes. Yeah, no, that goes to 86, so no.
Yeah, you can't hear anything over the howling of the wind.
Okay, taking a guess where, remembering how we placed our tents, I'm going to try to dig down to one of the tents.
Okay, we will leave you there for a moment and cut back to the fort, where it is nice and warm and toasty, and a sing-along and singing and dancing is happening. As the sing-along as the sing-along continues, throughout the rest of the night, kind of one by one, the men who were joining in, start to die off, but that's the wrong word. I shouldn't use that phrase. Shouldn't use that phrase in this context. Sure? Yeah, it might be taken the wrong way.
Maybe misconstrued.
Yes. They'll kind of break off and kind of collapse against, a wall and kind of sink down and just fall asleep. Eventually, kind of all the men who were joining, this have broken off. You would guess it's very near dawn by this point, and Anderson kind of stops singing and looks at you. Are you sure you don't want to join, gentlemen? It's great fun. Lift your spirits.
Yes. Thank you.
Well,
I'm more of a storyteller myself. You have any stories? Surely you could tell the group one.
Oh, I'm afraid I have no stories other than the one I've already told you. He kind of yawns. It is, perhaps I will get some sleep myself. If you'll excuse me, gentlemen. And he leaves the room.
Of course.
Is he going back to the
hospital.
Medical wing? Yeah.
If you watch him, he returns to the chapel. If you follow him, you would see that he returns to the chapel and climbs into his bunk and curls up.
Wait, were we in the chapel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But he was not there before, was he? In the chapel?
Yes. Yeah. No, not that you saw.
No.
No. Huh.
Yeah. When you saw him, he was in the hospital building, which is in a different
building. Yes. Okay. Thing. Yeah. So go back to the chapel.
Is this where they would put, you know, normally put a man like him, you know, a bed inside the chapel, or would they? Is this typical, or is he
getting
special treatment? Okay, yeah. All right.
I mean, you guys have bunks in here too, right? So
it's, right, yeah. Okay. Time for bed.
Yeah. That was fun, but weird.
Certainly,
I will stay awake for a couple of hours watching him.
Okay. You can
pretend to sleep, right? I'll just lie there on my bed and.
I prefer the image of you sitting on the side of your bed, staring at him for hours.
Exactly. No.
That's funny. I picture him on the side of his bed, staring at him.
It would have been better gaming for sure.
You can hear the wind and the snow howling outside. Let's get back to Sergeant Ambrose. Make a strength roll.
A strength roll. Mr. Hercules.
He's an easy success.
And make a con roll.
Con roll. That's 59. Yep, I make it.
Okay. The cold is definitely, I mean, it is bitterly, bitterly cold, even more so than, you know, the past couple of days, more so than you've, you know, felt in your entire time here. And the snow
feels unnaturally cold to me.
Well, I mean, who knows what unnaturally cold means in the middle of a blizzard like this.
Yeah.
The wind is howling and the snow is hitting you and stinging, and you know your beard is starting to freeze over, and you know it's so cold it hurts to breathe as you're sucking the cold air into your lungs. And
I'm going to take direction of where our camp is, the base camp, and head back.
I'm going to head out into the blizzard towards the fort.
Yes.
Navigate an idea roll, first of all.
Idea roll? I failed.
Do you have any survival?
Let me check, sorry. There's base 10%.
You can make that roll too if you want.
82% new.
Okay. Yep. Okay, navigation. Did you make a navigation roll?
Not yet. I just thought, where's my navigate? I've actually got navigate. 11. That's a hard success.
Okay. As you head out into the teeth of the blizzard, knowing that you are half a day from the fort.
Try to get a decent distance, and if I can find a place where I can have, you know, like if there's a clump of trees, I can basically set myself up in a little something to protect me from the worst of the weather. I'll do that.
Okay.
I just didn't think being in the middle of a pile of snow would be the best place for me.
Well, there is no place that is not snow.
Yeah.
And it continues to fall.
If I can find a place where I can basically set up a little bit of a wall and light a few branches to get a fire going.
Yeah, that's definitely not happening.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's better to move, because to sit down freeze to death. So in my character's view, it's going to be better to move.
Okay. Start trudging through the snow. Let us cut back to the fort. Morning dawns. You can all hear some commotion.
No, not again. What happened?
You make your way out of the chapel, and you can see kind of men rushing up and down the hallways. We're buried in, trying to dig ourselves out. Looks like the entire fort is buried in. There are men trapped out there. If you make your way to an outside door, you can see that, you know, the snow has piled up so high that, you know, they can't open the doors, and they're trying to just, you know, they're able to like push the door open maybe an inch into the snow, and then they're trying to scrape snow out of the gap to bring it in to try to push the door farther open. And you can see kind of men at all the exterior door working, trying to do this.
I feel like I'm recovered. I can certainly help.
So that's what the dance was all about.
Bringing in the snow?
Yeah. This is a player comment, not a character comment.
Yeah, I'm willing to help. If you need me to make rolls, or I'll grab some dice or a shovel, whatever's appropriate.
You can, sure. You can all make strength rolls.
36 is a normal success.
Okay. So you know, you can definitely start to work away on it. It is hard work. It is slow going. You know, because you can't get more than, you know, half an inch to an inch clearance at the doors, and you're just trying to scrape into this little tiny, you know.
Is there there's not a second story thing we can climb out of?
You can certainly go up to the second story, and you can, you know, look out through the windows up there.
Mm-hmm. And then dig down.
And you can make a sand roll.
Oh, nice. All right. That's 95 is not quite a fumble. That's a fail.
You can lose 1 point of sand as you look out and you see that the entire fort, so all of the buildings besides this one are you know, single story buildings, right? So you can't see anything other than just snow inside the fort.
Wow.
And the snow is so high, it's almost up to these second story windows. And you can just see the top of the ramparts on the walls. And the snow reaches almost to the top of them, and you can see kind of along the wall where, you know, the wall guards would have been stationed. You can see bodies. Some of them are sitting up. Some of them are lying curled in a fetal position, not moving.
Are they bloody, or they're just lying there?
Just lying there.
Frozen.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't come inside.
Colonel Erie comes up to you. I'm desperately afraid that our men on the wall have already died from exposure.
Yes.
Men in those barracks out there buried in the snow. All the food is in here. They'll be starving, they'll be cold. We'll die soon if we're not able to get to them.
Yes, I think we have to try to maybe go out there and dig down. Dig down to the one-story building.
To the entrance, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe to the roof even, and cut through the roof. It'd be a lot less digging.
Mm-hmm.
This is all just wooden buildings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe if we have a map of the site, we can make some estimates as to where the barracks are and send some teams out to start digging down to the... I think digging, obviously, down on the first story is a hopeless task, but maybe if we can dig from above.
So, Jim, can I draw upon my understanding of how the natural world works to see if this snowstorm seems natural or something else?
You may make a natural world roll with a bonus die.
Once again, saving me with a bonus die. Yep, that's a regular success.
You have heard stories of storms like this.
Okay.
Tales from the distant past. But in all your life, you have never seen the weather. Like, you have never seen this big a storm blow up this fast and then blow over.
Sure. Okay. I will log that in my memory banks. Perhaps even the notes.
That is an interesting idea, Mr. Wellington. But I fear that going out the windows, you would simply fall through the snow. And then you would be stuck in the snow. Perhaps we should attempt it, but let us at least give the men a chance to dig out through the doors first.
This is terrible. How many people are here, Jim, in the chapel?
Including you and the Colonel and Mr. Anderson. There are about another 24 soldiers.
Okay.
Let's get back to Sergeant Ambrose. Would you make a con roll with a penalty die?
Yep, a con roll with a penalty die. Okay, so 41. Penalty die is 5, so it goes to 51. Is 60.
Okay. You may have a D6 hit points of damage.
D6 hit points of damage.
Basically frostbite damage.
I have 16 hit points, so yes, I'm still going.
As the morning dawns and you dig yourself out of the snow that has accumulated around you.
Okay, yep. Okay, and basically, yeah, just continuing back to the fort.
Okay. You tromp over the snow in your snowshoes. We'll cut back to the fort. The day continues. Psychology rolls.
No idea what these people are thinking.
Failure for me.
You're a hope, Edwin.
Not much of one, apparently.
He's a quiet man.
Is that me?
Yeah.
My internet died.
Oh.
But I have recovered it.
Psychology.
Psychology role we're looking for. Okay. Nope. That's a fail. What am I psychologizing? Last I heard Sean had a question. I don't know what it was. It was several minutes ago.
Oh, I asked about whether or not I had seen or had any knowledge of storms like this. And yes, back it's part of legends and whatnot, perhaps. And then the commander suggested that perhaps we should let the men try to figure out how to get out of their buildings without setting their roofs on fire or whatever your plan was.
I was just going to dig down to the roof and cut through it. But yeah, that's sure.
And then
we're not digging down. I guess that's really the question.
We're not, and we just did psychology rolls, which we all failed, so we don't sense the men are getting restless and antsy and starting to mumble among themselves.
Oh, so, but it wasn't about why the
I just made the that commanding
officer. I mean, I was actually thinking it would be about why the commanding officer wouldn't want to rescue the men. Like, that's the part that's weird to me.
Sure.
Oh, he definitely does want to rescue the men. His rationale wasn't just let's not do it. It's the very logical of, well, if you go out the window, you're just going to fall into the snow, and then you'll be stuck in the snow.
That's what snowshoes and ropes and stuff are for, but okay. All right.
Which are all out there in the barracks and the supply depot.
Ah, there we go. Okay. So it's back to trying to teaspoon snow through the front door and take it upstairs and dump it out the window and sort of a...
The day passes. Not much progress. Some progress is made, but not much progress. By the end of the day, you're able to, you know, the men are at the various external doors are able to open them 3 or 4 inches instead of just 1 inch.
Wow.
And Colonel Airy kind of calls a halt to the work for the night, wanting everyone to get some rest, to recuperate, as of course everyone has been working very hard through the day.
Oh, hey, has that Anderson been pitching in?
He has a little bit.
Okay.
Perhaps not working as hard as most of the soldiers, but you know, he has been there helping.
Okay.
As evening falls and the dinner is served, and some of the men kind of just immediately fall asleep, and you know, a group of the men kind of join Anderson in one of the rooms again, and Anderson, you know, kind of goes around and is trying to, you know, cheer them up, and you know, we can do it, we can save those men, excellent work. And he starts singing.
Who's singing? English. Anderson again?
Yeah.
In that strange language again?
Yep.
I will approach him and punch him in the face. Stop singing. Our men are dying out there.
Now we're talking.
Wow.
Okay. Make a punch roll.
Yeah, I need to make it very regular. Huh. It seems to be very strong, though. Well, that's nice, a punch, but, you know, not very effective, maybe.
Okay.
Just more like a warning, you know, just like be quiet.
As you do, the other men kind of jump up and pull you off. What are you doing, mate? Let him sing.
No, our men are dying outside. Should not be merry here. We should pray.
Yes, let's do that.
You go pray. We want some song. A song to lift our spirits, a song for the men who are dying in the snow.
I look for the, you know, for a colonel to, you know.
If it's a song for the lads, sing one of their songs. Sing, I don't know, some old ballad or something that everyone would know.
Are you going to start singing it?
Sure.
Okay.
Nice.
You can start singing. The other soldiers will start singing, but they are still singing Anderson's song. And Anderson picks up and starts singing his song again.
We're having a sing-off. Man. How do they know the words?
Well, they were listening to it all night, the previous night.
That's true. I give up on it in disgust and storm out.
And he'll start dancing, and the other men start dancing. Let's get back to Sergeant Ambrose. Would you make another con roll, please?
Yes, I can. Well, I'll try to with penalty.
Yes.
Okay. 88 will be a failure. And a 1. So, yeah, a D8.
Okay. You can have a D8 hit points of damage.
Ooh, D8. That's 4. So, I'm down to 5 hit points. So, that was just under half. That was 4 out of 9.
Okay. It's kind of just ongoing frostbite damage, so you don't need to make another con roll to not fall unconscious. Shortly after the sun goes down and the temperature drops again, the wind starts to whip up, snow starts to fall. You can see the wall of the fort ahead of you. You trudge up to the gate, and you have snowshoes, of course, right? So you're able to keep on top of the snow, and you get up to the gate, and the snow is so deep, right? The gate, there's just the top inch or two of the gate is visible out of the snow.
And don't climb over the gate and call out.
You can do that, and your voice just kind of dies in the wind. You can see the entire fort is just buried in snow. It's so deep you can't see any of the buildings except for the central keep, where the top story is sticking up out of the snow, and you can see the glow of firelight behind some of the windows.
That's where I'm heading, to the central keep.
Okay. Knock on one of the windows. Say, please let me in. Someone opens the window for you, and Sergeant, what are you doing back? You made it back.
The others, they're lost. They're all trapped.
And outside,
snowstorm.
The snow is falling.
Let me in.
Of course.
Mr. Wellington
all
runs
in. All the others
in.
Are gone. This cold came and the snow came, and we were totally trapped by snow. I was lucky, I dug myself out, but I couldn't find anybody else.
Like us. All our men are buried. But you have snowshoes, that means we can dig down to the buildings now. You were able to walk here?
Yes. Yes, with the snowshoes. I'll take off the snowshoes and pass them to one of you guys. My hands are probably looking, my fingers are looking blue.
Yes. Well, not just blue, but black.
Well, I'll sit as close as comfortable to the fire.
Commander Erie comes in. Sergeant, where's the detachment? What happened?
They got trapped under snow. I couldn't find them. I couldn't get to them. The only thing I could do was come back here.
Remarkable, remarkable. The snow, where did all this snow come from? I don't... Make a psychology roll. Everyone can make a psychology roll.
Pass. Finally. The 08.
As the colonel kind of staggers out of the room,
I pass as well.
You can tell, you could probably smell as well. He's been drinking. He is well drunk.
Mm.
Good for him. I'm a little jealous, but
I'm a lot jealous.
Yeah.
He'll be no use. We've got to get the men out.
The snow continues to fall.
Running Fox. Yes. Do you recognize that language? Showing singing them? That dancing?
I don't know. Do I?
Nope.
I do not. So, well, that's sort of interesting, too. Nobody's ever asked him what language he was singing.
That's true.
Anderson, what is that strange language you are using for your songs?
He kind of breaks the song long enough to call out to you. Ah, it's just an old Scottish tune.
Sing a British song.
question. I've been with the Grenadiers. I probably would know Scots. Would I recognize if it's Scottish or not?
You can
speak the language.
You can make a education roll.
Education roll. 44. What's my education? 45. So I just make it.
It does not sound like Gaelic.
It may be a Scottish song, but it is not Gaelic. I have heard Gaelic quite often. What language?
It's an old Scottish song.
You're lying to us, Anderson. Are you lying to us?
Lying? Of course not. It's just a song to lift the spirits of the men. Tell me, men, are your spirits lifted? Yay! Yay, Anderson!
Oh, no.
How many men would you say are cheering at this point?
Pretty much all of them, except for the five of you and the colonel.
And, oh, all of them. I was going to ask if their numbers are growing, but no.
Their numbers are not growing, no.
Right.
We haven't actually rescued anybody yet from outside.
Yeah, I guess it's going to become important, though. What is that number, that all of them number?
Two dozen.
Two dozen. Mm. Okay. And they're all singing and dancing with good little Anderson.
Yep.
It's a problem.
The night passes.
Was somebody going out to get the other people who were buried?
I was going to work a little bit while we had the snowshoes available, but...
Yep.
Well, the snow is falling again. The blizzard has started up again.
Oh.
Right, the wind is howling.
Okay.
The snow is... There's no way you want to go out.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah, you imagine it was fairly... You imagine it was... You know, you kind of imagine it was almost a miracle that Sergeant Ambrose managed to make it here. There's no way you're going out in that.
Yeah, no, he's probably a Wendigo himself.
Well, at the moment, with his black and blue fingers, he's basically staying as close to the fire as he can.
And as the 16th of January dawns and the snow starts to dissipate, I think we will have to end it there for now.
Somebody has to tell Jonathan he's got another week. I thought we were going to end it a lot quicker when Randall punched him, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Apparently he just wants us all to die first, and then he'll be...
Randall?
No.
Oh.
No. Anderson.
No. Randall still wants us to stay alive so he can run away ahead of us.
Right. Cool. Well, thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Jim.
Good stuff.
Thanks. See you later, guys.
Take care, guys.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.